Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Own.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
I'm really curious today because we have a really, really awesome show coming up, and it's going to be, no pun intended, but a different angle than we usually go from. Do you know what I mean? Like a different angle?
Nope.
We're not doing like spiritual. We're looking at angles and spaces and
energy,
how things interact in the space. Anyway, we'll get to that in a second. How's your summer going?
I'm like, you lost me for a second, man. I was like, we're angles and flowing. Well, we're doing well. Oh my goodness. Okay, you guys. Carol, we have, yes, Carol Heider Hinton today.
Yep. Hi.
Please say hello to everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, here we go. Here is her official bio. I'm going to straighten up a little bit to be able to say this correctly. Mm-hmm. Carol Heider is an internationally recognized consultant, speaker, teacher, author, and trainer in the field of feng shui. Her integrative spaces strategy combines ancient practices with modern research. I love that ancient with modern kind of going hand in hand to create superior environments. Carol holds an MA in East Asian Studies and has been a feng shui consultant since 1992, having studied with His Holiness Grandmaster Thomas Yin Yun, Her Holiness Crystal Chu. Rinpoche?
Rinpoche.
Oh, thank you. And Roger Green. Oh, I almost said it, Brian. All master teachers and their respective philosophies of feng shui. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you. If I die, will you read that as my eulogy?
Yes, I will, but I'll do it much better, and I'll get the pronunciations of the grand masters that you studied with correctly.
Thank you.
I love that you said about modern research and ancient practices.
Yep.
I think that's really... It's so what you do.
Well, I'm not the only one who has this approach. When feng shui really came to the States, a lot of those ancient principles didn't apply. You know, we're different. We have different chi here. We have different energy. We have different perspectives. So Professor Lin was a very influential teacher for me, and he was from Taiwan. He was Buddhist and realized that we won't do some of the things that they would do in China. So he was very open and had a lot of fun and curiosity about modernizing. And this has also now moved, not necessarily because of his work, but or even mine, but there's a whole new thing out there called neuroscience. There's, you know, neural design, which is really saying that the environment affects who you are and how you respond to the world.
So why feng shui? Why? What got you curious about it? What is, for any of our listeners, I just had this thought bubble. Some people might not know what feng shui is. What is it?
It's an approach. It's not, it's often mistaken as an interior design approach. Yes, we talk about what you have in your space, but most of us are not interior designers, so we don't come with that background. But it's looking at your space in terms of how does it impact you, and it's a personalization of the environment. And because, you know, I can say, oh, you need, you know, orange here, and somebody hates orange. So we need to, like, really take a look at what's the importance of that color, how can we incorporate it in other ways, and then the whole concept of energy.
Right.
You know, like orange may be behind the wall covering, and then we put wall covering over it, and yet feng shui will work. It's wind and water. Feng is wind, shui is water. So it's about movement and flow and change, and I think that's really an important thing because a lot of people say, oh, I'm feng shuied, now I can't move my couch. And it's like, that's not the point of this. The point is that for now, maybe the sofa's in the right place or the artwork, but there's movement. You change. You know, I don't wear the same outfit every day, and so you want your space to reflect where you are in the world, and not only now but moving forward.
So does that mean with your professional take that this is it's an iterative process with the person, whether it's a home or an office? There's something in your process where you'll say, look, this is what it is today.
Yeah.
And do you have like a checkpoint? Is it like, let's touch base in 3 months? Or what kind of process do you have to keep it feng shui?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's a very individual thing, obviously, Brian. Some people say, I did what you told me and I didn't like the plant there. And it's like, well, then that's not working. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, good feng shui isn't always the same for everybody. And so, or I thought I'd really like this color. I realize why you told me this color and I just can't stand it. So, or sometimes it's okay. Like, oh, the plant was fine. And then all of a sudden I realize I just irritates me. It just annoys me that it's right there. So you have to pay attention to these kinds of things. Sometimes that takes a week. And I could come back in a week and do something different. And sometimes it takes years till they finally go, you know what, I realized what was irritating me is this bedroom has been blue for 5 years because you said to do it then, and now I don't like it anymore. So, you know, you can't just say in 3 months I'll be back and then we'll change things, because well, in 3 months it might still be just fine. But the hope that I try to generate with people is to empower them to say, I don't like this. I'm not going to be hit by lightning if I say, yes, this is good feng shui, but, you know, I don't like it. And this is where modern comes in, because in the traditional, you did it anyway.
Yeah.
You just did it because those are the rules, and there was the chart and there was the direction, and you don't move those. But once it got really to the Western world, we realized those, number one, we don't live like that. We don't take that kind of direction. And it's not a healthy way, because we're always in change. We're always in flux. I think one good example of this is I had a client who used to, I don't know that she still does this, but she used to change her living room and dining room according to the seasons, which at first I thought, oh, how crazy making. But it was really lovely because she showed me her setup. She had lots of storage space. But, you know, in the fall, she had this and these colors. And then in the spring, she had this and these colors. And what it did is it got that sort of connection. The space had a connection. It was sort of a temporal thing where the space changed with the season. And it's a cool thing to do. It's a lot of work. She was changing rugs and curtains and all that. And sometimes...
So she was committed.
Oh, she was. She was totally committed. And she
wasn't just some Halloween decorations here and there.
In the window?
She was really ready to go.
Yeah,
okay.
She was. I was impressed. I haven't met anybody who's done that. And I don't know if she still does that, but she really enjoyed it. And the house was just...
And the house enjoyed it too, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, a lot of times, like I say, people say, oh, I'm feng shui, I'm done. Well, maybe for now, but there's more ahead. So.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm curious, and I'm really...
Brian has
I
a new
feel
house,
really
by
lucky
the way.
Today.
Yeah.
I honestly feel really lucky, Carol, because I'm someone who... I've always allowed myself to allow the idea that I might be a little neurotic around my space. Like, I take it very seriously.
Not you.
But I'm okay. I've accepted that about mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. I like that I care a lot about my space. I like that it's very, very clean. I like my things in order. And I get a lot of peace, comfort, and joy through the process of doing those things and having it look and feel and appear a certain way. And I'm wondering, is there any connection between a space being clean and things being in order with what you do with feng shui, or are they very separate?
Oh, no. They're totally connected.
Okay.
So here's an example. People do call me for lots of reasons. You know, they've just moved, they're building, they're designing a house, they're, you know, getting a new place. And every now and then I'll get somebody who'll say, please look past the clutter. And I have been in two homes that were hoarders. And give them credit, they invited me in.
Yeah. Because they did not have to do that.
They did not have to do that at all. And if the clutter is sort of like the you know, the curtain that does not allow you to move forward. And you know, I'm not a therapist, and so I'm, you know, but I try to explain that the reason they're stuck, and this is both of them were like, I'm stuck, I can't move forward, I can't, you know, I'm not making enough money, and I don't know what to do. And yet there was all this massive amount of furniture and things and files and books. And so the best approach I've found, because again, I'm not a therapist, is to just find one room and to almost go to the point of Zen. And so that's usually palatable for somebody who likes their things. The room I want it to be is their bedroom.
Bedroom.
Yeah, they're where they sleep. And just all crap out of there. You know, I mean, people with their old computers that have died in their bedroom, like, oh, I want to get them out of the way. That's not the place. And the stuff under the bed and stuff hanging off stuff. And so that's the one that's that sort of gives them a sense, you know, their toe is in the water. Like, what does that feel like to have your bed cleared off so you can actually get in the whole bed, not, you don't have stuff on half of it? And what does it feel like when the dresser top is completely clean? And I'm pretty strict about that. Like, no, you can't put that candle up there. Don't, it's totally empty. And it gives them a chance to see that. So to answer your question.
And feel it.
And feel it, yes.
And then you ask them, how did you sleep last night?
That's right.
And they're like, I don't know why, but I had the best night's sleep ever. And you're like, okay.
That's right.
Right?
How about that? Yeah, so clutter is really, it's a impediment to really taking a look. So I in both cases, just kind of let go of the rest of the space because my hope was that it would start to kind of move out into other parts of the house. But if it didn't, at least the most important room, the bedroom, their bedroom, was in good shape.
So tell us some of your expert tips on how to set up a bedroom. And I know this, everyone's home is different and everybody else is different, but there's got to be some...
Yeah, there's some standard things.
Standard things.
Yep. The one thing is you should have a headboard. And I know there's people who say, oh, no, I don't like headboards. Well, here's the thing. You know, this space reflects your life, and a headboard represents support, backing. And we take that literally and say, if you don't have a headboard, are you losing support in some things? Do you not feel like somebody has your back? And so that's one thing. Nothing under the bed. Yeah, I know that's
such a good storage spot,
I know it is.
Okay, tell us why.
Well, I'll tell you a story. Why? A quick story. I dealt with a woman who had just gotten divorced, and she wanted to meet somebody, and it had been a couple years, and she didn't know why she wasn't meeting anybody, and it wasn't happening. We went to her bedroom, and I looked under the bed, and I said, oh, you got all these books here. And she said, oh, those are all my books that I read when I was going through my divorce. It was all about divorce procedures.
Under your bed.
Under your bed, under her bed. So energy, everything's energy. And, you know, whatever you have under the bed, whether it's books or skis or luggage or shoes, you know, that's all yang energy. And you can put something like bedding under there or night shirts, you know, nightgowns under there. But don't put active things under there. It'll influence your sleep. So that's nothing. Don't store your books in there. Okay. You can have a book if you're reading it.
Kelly, I have to ask you, do you have crystals under your bed?
I might. I'm more worried about the other things that we have under our bed. I'll just be honest.
Well, I wasn't going to expose you on the air. I was trying to give you a layup there.
They're more my husband's things that he stores under the bed. And now I'm just... And the cats love to hang out underneath our bed.
Sure,
right?
So here's the question to ask yourself. And this is why I go into bedrooms. And if I go, oh, my God, I will say to them, how are you sleeping? If they say to me, fabulous, I just go, fine. I might say... in case that changes, here's things I think you should do. But I don't make them rip out stuff while I'm there.
Okay, what's another thing about the bedroom before we wrap up segment one?
Yes, don't put the bed, one of the sides of the bed up against the wall. You want it floating in the middle.
We did that right. Okay. Okay, we did one thing right. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay.
Kelly, I love how you were just looking for some form of validation in segment one. Like just some form.
You did that.
Doing a little self-discovery. Well, and you know, the TV, we should cover the TV.
Yeah.
Red strategically or different. Okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm just a hack. Okay, you guys. But I'm so curious, and I just want to ask you all these questions. Oh, my goodness. You guys, Carol Heider is here. Her website is Carol with an E, CaroleHyder.com. She's a feng shui master. She's an author. She's a great lady to know. Okay. Just want to let you know, being curious, on behalf of Brian and Kelly, Kelly and Brian and Carol, we'll be right back. Discover Strains of the Earth, your go-to destination for all things holistic. This family-owned dispensary in Jordan and Carver offers a curated collection of high-quality mushroom products like gummies, tinctures, supplements, and more. Our knowledgeable staff members can guide you with expert recommendations and responsible usage tips. Explore the selections at strainsoftheearth.com and enjoy convenient delivery right to your home. Strains of the Earth, saving the world with mushrooms. Do you or someone in your family suffer from nightmares? Is your home cluttered and you can't seem to clear it out? Your home or office may have low vibrational energy, and it could be impacting you and your family. Using the ancient techniques of dowsing, Master Dowser Annette Regalo can raise the vibration of your home or office by identifying and curing stress lines and negative vortexes that may be creating disharmony in your home or office. Annette has over 20 years of dowsing experience and is passionate about creating high vibrational spaces for others to live and work. Contact Annette today at 612-394-3736 or AnnetteRegalo.com to schedule your free dowsing consultation. When you transform the energy of your environment, you transform your life. Remember, that's AnnetteRegalo.com. AnnetteRegalo.com.
And we are back. Segment two with Carol Heider, CarolHyder.com. And that's Carol with an E. And Kelly, thanks for spelling that out in segment one. You crushed that.
I was totally proud of myself. I was like, woo! So well, I would hate for someone to get really excited and want to share space with Carol. And they're like, I just keep...
There's an E in the end.
Did you
all
buy,
my life I have had to put that
put
E in the end.
E in?
Yeah.
Did you by happen by and buy Carol Heider without the E.com?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
that would have been a good idea.
And you can just redirect to your...
Sure.
Right?
You're so smart.
No,
I thought of that.
Just throwing marketing advice out there.
So,
look at you.
Our studio,
yeah.
By the way, I want to give a call out to Elizabeth Sullivan from... The Being Sovereignty
That's
Show.
Sullivan with an S, isn't
That's
it?
That's an S.
Sullivan
with an S. Right? She and Chad, our station owner, and just a lot of people, we've done a mini renovation to the studio. Mm-hmm. And it feels so much better. Mm-hmm. And all we really did, I wasn't a part of it outside of just fostering the goodness, cleanliness, some fake plants, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. How does the studio feel to you?
Well, I've been in studios. And this is nice. I mean, it's got a nice little touch to it that, you know, I've seen the lamp over here and the salt lamp and the flowers. And I typically don't see that. It's usually pretty functional.
Yeah.
And so this is nice.
Oh, this was very functional.
I'm sure.
Quite upgraded.
There's magic in here now. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
And it feels so much better. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it was just a little bit of, so where I'm going with this is just by getting a little bit of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. That's all it takes.
Can be a transfer. I mean, these are carpeted walls.
Yeah.
The TV's on. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not much you can do with this space. But what was done was impactful.
It was. It's warm. There's a warmth in here, and that's what's really nice. Yeah, it's very, very easy to be here.
Brian.
I was going to make a joke. I was going to say Kelly turns the heat on a little bit to warm it up.
I normally do, but that's okay. No, it's great. Thank you so much. Because
well, actually,
that was the intent.
Really quick, I do want to, in all seriousness, piggyback on what you were going for there, Kelly. And that's that, Carol, I have to imagine that one of the most rewarding parts of your work is that because you create that space and that energy in people's homes, maybe it's just a bedroom, maybe it's a whole home. What's it like for you to hear how much better their life gets in general because of the work that you're doing there? I mean, you must have just endless amounts of these stories because you've been doing this. You've been a professional in this space for many, many years.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, that's got to be so rewarding.
It is rewarding.
Well, and it's a real courageous thing for someone to reach out to you and
yes,
say,
yes, it is.
I need help.
Yes.
And this is kind of out of my comfort zone.
My wheelhouse,
zone,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I don't lose sight of the fact that their vulnerability is right out there. And so I do follow up with clients. Sometimes it depends on what the need is. Like if somebody's building a house, I'm usually there several times. But if, you know, somebody has an apartment, I'll follow up just with a phone call and email and say, so how's it going? What's happening? And because if it's not working right, then, you know, we need to finesse something. But usually by the time I leave, we've got a plan. They've got a plan that they'll do and they'll commit to, and they're pretty excited about it. But it is, it's awesome. You know, one of my books is a whole book of stories of clients. And, you know, sometimes they don't do what I say, but they do something else. And it actually turns out.
Do you have a story that comes to mind? See it above your head.
Oh, do
you? Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I have many stories. Let me think of one that is not too long and involved. Well, okay, sure. I can tell you an abbreviated version of one, a couple who had a lot of money issues. And, you know, in feng shui, we have this mental map that we use that delineates where certain area touch points for certain parts of your life. Like there's a money area and there's a health area and there's, you know, a relationship area. And their garage was in the money area. And it was, in fact, they couldn't park in the garage, a double car garage. They had so much stuff. And so I wanted to be real sensitive to that, like, what is it that's here? And, oh, it was a bunch of stuff and stuff they didn't even know, but boxes they'd brought and hadn't opened. And so, you know, pointing out that that's their money area sort of set them on fire. But the thing that was interesting is I followed up with them because that was really their assignment because that was huge. You know, I wasn't going to run around and do a million other things and overwhelm them. It's like, get that. This is your priority here. And so she was just, oh, my gosh. She was just ready to, you know, sort and get rid of. And she wrote and she said, oh, my God, it just made a huge difference and things are really flowing and I got a new job, yada, yada. And then I saw them somewhere. I can't remember where that was, some public place they were there. And I said, well, how's it going? And she said, not so well. And I said, is this the garage issue? And she said, yeah. And the bottom line was that her husband was nervous about, I don't know what other word to use, uncomfortable maybe is a better word, about that garage being so empty. You know, people are nervous about empty corners. They just feel like something should be everywhere. And so he started moving things out of the basement back into the garage.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so what happened, you know, the jobs are being lost and accounts are being, you know, going bankrupt and all of that. And I said, gosh, you know what to do. And she said, I'm frankly, yes, I know feng shui-wise, but she said, I need to get him help in terms of what's behind all of this. So, you know, you have to take it all into consideration because, I'm not a therapist, nor an interior designer, but things come up, you know, like that. You know, things come up that make him, he had to go through a whole painful process of, you know, he grew up, his parents were poor.
I was about to say I got depression, baby, like major energy around that.
And so when he was starting to get on his feet, he felt guilty about that.
Yep.
And so that wouldn't work because his parents were still alive and he didn't want to, you know, outdo them. And so things started happening. So it's funny how we throw up our own roadblocks when it isn't in our best interest, but we all do those things sometimes.
So did you just part ways with them? And
yes.
Right?
Yes. And they were actually on a good path, and they both knew what to do. And he had, like I say, was starting to get some help around that whole issue of his mindset. And I'm pretty sure they moved. This has been years ago. You know, I can't stay in touch with all these people.
Oh, come on.
Club. I can have a club.
You could.
The short-term story of that was he was really the linchpin there in terms of was this going to succeed or not. And because she was all on board, but, you know, he was undermining along the way.
So tell us about the importance of space and home. Because I think we've kind of danced around it, but I think there's just really, there's an anchor that we need to really secure in this conversation.
One of the principles in feng shui is your space reflects your life. And so, you know, if you're honest and open, you can look around and go, and we, you know, we do this. I mean, when things get cluttered, when things get out of hand, when you've had company, when you've been sick, you look around and go, my gosh, this house is a mess. Well, you know, you kind of take it on. And so it's not only, though, what your space says to you about where you are now, but you can pull yourself forward. It can hold your dream. And I have a great story for this.
Go for it.
A woman that I was working with had retired, and she was an English professor, and she retired with the idea that she wanted to write a series of novels. This was her dream. It had been her dream forever. And so she was alone. I don't know if she was divorced, but she was alone, and her daughter was gone. So she moved a desk she used her daughter's little girl desk that was in the daughter's old bedroom, who was now off married somewhere, and just proceeded to try to write there. And it wasn't working. And she said, I read these feng shui books, and I'm facing the door, and I'm covering the bed because, you know, I know that isn't good, and I still go write on the dining room table. Well, here's the thing. The room, the space wasn't telling her she's an author. It was telling her she was a little girl.
Yeah, that's what I... Right.
So that was kind of, you know, yes, she had done a few things right, but couldn't really override the big message about you're still a little girl in here. So, I mean, you know, you can buy an expensive big desk, big girl desk, big person desk. And so we talked about that and the color, because she hadn't painted it since her daughter left. You know, it's like all these little things that... You know, at the end of the day, it didn't cost her a lot, but it took effort. She had to paint. She had to take down the little girl curtains. She, you know, had to get a desk, a chair that was, you know. And then this is what I said to her. Think of yourself as a successful author. What would a successful author do?
Absolutely.
And don't let any small little thing get in the way, you know, like, oh, I don't want to get rid of my daughter. Her daughter was gone. You know, right. Her daughter, bottom line, probably didn't care what her mom did in that room. And so she did. And she got published, and, you know, things have been going really good for her. But it needs to not only reflect you so that when you come home, you kind of remember who you are, but also where you're going. Like, is this going to pull me forward? Is this, you know, and it can be the simplest thing. It could be something. I tell people, get something that's a little bit out of your norm. Like, oh, I can't afford that. Or, oh, that would be too extreme. Just one thing, because it will remind you that you're more than who you are. Mm-hmm. And so it might be a piece of art, or it might be a rug where you go, I really I really spend a lot of money in this rug, but I love this rug. You know, like, look at the difference than if you went and just bought a cheap rug and said, well, it's good enough.
Yeah.
Well, good enough is not good enough.
No.
So that's what space does. It's like your mirror. It's really like your mirror. You want to look around and you want to say, I like how it's reflecting me. If people come into your house and say, oh my gosh, this is so you, probably it's a compliment.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably. I say that probably, unless it's really weird. But most of the time, you know, your colors, so, you know, you also want colors that you look good in. I mean,
and that you feel good
that
in.
That you feel good in. So that when you're in your space, you don't go, I love purple, but boy, I never wear that. You know, well, then that's not a color you want on your wall.
Right.
You know, or greens, or just find something you go, that's really complimentary to my eyes. I'm going to paint my wall that color. And then, you know, you belong to each other.
Right.
And there's a real synergy.
Tell us about front doors.
Oh.
I have just had this feeling to just tell us about front doors and the importance, because I think there's a lot.
There's a big importance about that.
And even like the doormat going in also impacts it. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, the feng shui rule is you want to use your front door. And so for a lot of people, this is an issue because they park in back, their garage is in back, and their back door's right there, and they're hauling a bunch of groceries in. They're not going to walk around the house to get to their front door. And I get that. But here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to ignore that front door. It's called the mouth of chi. It's where your energy comes in. So you want to have a regular affiliation with that door, in that you go, maybe if you go for a walk at night, you go out the front door, or if you have a dog, or if you get the mail, you know, use that, open that door so that chi can come in. And yes, it's silly to say I'm going to just drag all my groceries around to the front when the back door is right there. I get it. But it needs to work. It needs to have a key. It needs to have glass changed. If there's broken things, you don't put furniture in front of it. You make it, it's your, if company come to the front door, they have unknowingly assessed who you are by just walking in and standing on your floor mat. They have already brought some opinions around who you are. So you want to make sure, I mean, it doesn't have to be full of stuff. It just needs to be welcoming. There needs to be a place to hang the coat. There needs to be maybe a little bench. There needs to be a cool rug. I mean, a statement right there that says, you can come in here because this is a fabulous place and I'm a fabulous person.
I love it. Okay. That's on front doors. Any colors that people should stay away from, or is everybody different?
Yeah, everybody's different. The biggest thing is we often say red front doors are nice because they really attract attention. A lot of people don't like that, so that would not work. So what's your favorite color? Go stand by your door. If you look great by your front door, that's it.
Okay, there we go. You guys, Carol Heider, we're learning about energy, feng shui, the importance of our space and home. Segment two is wrapping up, and lots of fun for the next segment. Her website is Carol with an E, HYDER.com. We'll be right back. Is your space aligned with your dreams? Do you feel inspired when you walk in the door? Carol Heider can help you create a space that you love, where you thrive, and where you always want to be. Using her 29 years of experience as a feng shui consultant, teacher, author, and trainer, she can help you bring forth the inspired essence of your home or office, making it a place where you feel whole and safe. Learn the specific feng shui adjustments that Carol has seen as the most important, such as determining which room in your home should be your favorite, why your stove may be affecting your health, and why your office may be holding you back. Contact Carol at 612-823-5093 or carolheider.com to discuss the specifics with a personal appointment. By elevating the energy of your space, it becomes sacred and you will be forever changed. Contact Carol at Carol Heider, that's C-A-R-O-L-E-I-D-E-R. HYDER.com. Embark on a journey of curiosity and self-discovery with the Edge Partner Directory. Are you curious about unlocking your potential, exploring mystical realms, or diving deep into the intuitive guidance? Look no further than the Edge Partner Directory. With our curated directory, you can explore transformative experiences that will elevate your consciousness, discover holistic wellness practitioners to nurture your well-being, and connect with intuitive guides who can illuminate your path to transformation. Whether you seek mindfulness practices, energy healing, metaphysical wisdom, or intuitive insights, our directory is your compass to enlightenment and self-discovery. Your higher consciousness and personal growth journey await. Visit edgedirectory.net and let your curiosity lead the way. Again, find the directory at edgedirectory.net. That's edgedirectory.net. edgedirectory.net.
And we're back. We're with Carol Heider, Feng Shui Master, carolheider.com. And again, I was really, the alarm bells were honestly going off in segment two when I was hearing about how impactful this work is, always for the positive in the end, but I found it to be very interesting that for some people, this could really showcase the worst of them. Mm-hmm. You know, when you shared that story about, like, in my mind, I was the weird kind of human in me that's like rooting for the positive and the win. I was rooting for that story to end with that woman divorcing this guy and like moving on with her life and, you know, living this incredibly successful, because it was just so alarming, his issues that were causing all of this in the space. And again, I was rooting for more of like the short term win there. The biggest win would be he figures this stuff out. They live happily ever after.
Yeah.
But it was a real stark reminder. You know, for me personally, I make my bed every day. On my worst day, on my absolute worst day, I command every cell in my body to make that bed. Because if that doesn't happen, I know it's pretty much, I've lost control. I've lost too much control, right? Like, we have our bad days, we have challenges that come up, but to me, in my own personal experience of my life, that is a absolute must every day. And even that little moment where I look at that bed and it's creased and it's made and it looks good, it's enough to get me through my worst day.
Yeah.
And so I have a deep respect for you and what you do. And I really, it was alarming for me to hear those stories, because I thought, wow, you know, there's so many people who just don't get it about the importance. And so I really just want to acknowledge you. I want to highlight you. I want to invite anyone listening to really tune in to this episode, to listen to the stories, to listen to your expertise, to connect with you, because shifting the energy and space of even a bedroom or one room in a house can literally impact the entirety of your life in so many great ways. So I just, that was very, it was a poignant moment for me to hear what you shared there.
Yeah, thank you. That was well said. There's something about the bed making thing where it's a discipline, and you know, some days it's like the only dang thing that went right. You know, you got your bed made, and I've had moments when, you know, I don't know, so I overslept and I'm running around. And I come home and there's the bed, and there's just an icky feeling about, oh man, and it might be 5 o'clock at night and I'm making the bed because I have to finish the day off better than the way it started. So it's a small thing to do, and
it's free. It's easy.
It's free. It's easy. It doesn't take a lot of time. And it, you know, you just walk by and you see it made, and it's like, oh, there's an endorsement that I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever walked I'm going to go two different ways in the conversation. It's interesting when you can walk into a home that is like this beautiful million-dollar home. I'm just using that as an example mm-hmm. of just showing the bar that I'm going with, and it just feels gross.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, I've had that feeling. I also sometimes go in homes of that caliber and realize if I just open a closet, the whole story is there. You know, they may have put things away, they may have expensive things, but the story of their life is in that closet, and it's not pretty.
So what do you do in those situations where someone hires? Talk to us about someone investing in your time. What does a session look like with you?
Yeah, well, there are a couple hours usually. Usually by after an hour and a half, everybody's exhausted because, you know, I'm pretty well, we go through room by room. And I also want to know why am I there? Because mm-hmm. I may start heading off for one in one direction and they're like, yeah, well, I really want to talk about my health. And, you know, like, oh. So we get real clear on why am I here? What is it you want to have improved? And so that's where we'll start. We'll focus on that. But they aren't isolated. You know, I may be in the health area, and as it turns out, it is affecting their money, or it is affecting their relationship, or their relationship is affecting their, you know, like, so we can start in where they think they should start. And then we physically go to that particular area, and then we kind of see how that morphs. It's a very organic process. And I have gotten, you know, most of the time I don't know the people. So I feel, you know, it's not like I'm going to see them in the grocery store. So I'm real direct, you know. I try to be kind, and I'm direct, and I'll go, here's where I think you get your biggest bang for your buck. And you know, do with this what you want, but here's why I think you're experiencing this pain, and I know this will be more pain for a short time to get it cleared out or fixed or painted or moved or whatever. But in the end, this is exactly what you're going to need. And, you know, I can't do it for them. And I think sometimes I'm happy that I'm not an interior designer because they go back and they, you know, fluff the pillows and do all that. And this way I walk away, they've taken notes, and or sometimes I send them my follow-up notes. It depends on how things are going. And I'll just do a follow-up email or call later and just say, so where are we here? And are you okay? And what do you need, if you need anything?
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I pace myself. I pace the client. I would rather do two shorter appointments and drive there than one really long, you know, long haul, because after a while I'm tired. I'm not seeing things clearly. You know, you run a lot of energy doing this kind of work.
Absolutely.
So I think they're pretty custom. I mean, they're all custom, obviously. I don't just walk in and say, well, you do the front door and they do the bed and they do the, you know, I want to find out what was the motivation? Why am I here?
That's beautiful, because you don't want to just go, oh, everything looks great.
Yeah.
You're fine. So
you're fine.
That was great.
Thank I'm you. Sorry you aren't feeling good, but you're fine.
Yeah, you're just fine. Everything's good. So during COVID, a lot of people started to work from home.
Yes.
And the home, and I know you wrote an article in the Edge magazine a couple issues back, these homes had had a cadence. Mm-hmm. A lot of people left for work, and the home had its own rhythm.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, there's lockdown, there's people working from home, there's kids at home learning from home. That was fun. Mm-hmm. And it's a different frequency. It's a different energy in the home. What advice do you have along those observations of the people that are either deciding to stay working from home and having that home business, or even the next part of the question is, what can they do to their office space to have really good energy?
Yep. I did a fair number of Zoom appointments during COVID, obviously for reasons unspoken, and it was usually around the office. Well, a lot of people were caught with no office at home, And so there they are working in the stairway. Believe me, I saw that.
Yeah.
And or on the kitchen table or the dining room table or the coffee table. And, you know, there is sort of I don't know if argument's the right word, but there is, like, do you separate your work from your life, or does your work, can your work blend with your life? You know, some of that's personality.
Right.
Some people can do that. But not that all said, there really does need to be a separate base camp for your work stuff.
Got it.
You know, like, you don't keep your pajamas in the kitchen. You know, like, so you need to have a place where you can put the files, put the computer, put the thing. And maybe it isn't a completely dedicated office or space, but it should not be in the bedroom. Office should not be in the bedroom.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. It should not be in the stairwell. But it could be, you know, it could be a corner somewhere, you know, some part of the living room or...
Does it need a door?
Well...
Ideally.
Ideally. But, you know, in some cases there was, you know, you're in the dining room. And luckily right. It was a dining room. They weren't using much, so they converted it to more of an office. But it didn't have doors. I saw some very clever things with screens, standing screens, mm-hmm. That you could remove when it was time to go back to your office, if you ever did. I saw actually kind of a nice setup with bookshelves. So the bookshelves kind of came out, so they kind of cut off that work energy,
right.
So it wasn't, you know, rambling all over. Always in an office, home office or otherwise, you want to be able to see where is the energy coming into the space. So you what that typically means is that you are looking toward the door and your desk is not going to be slammed up to a wall.
Okay. Brian, how's yours? I checked. Mine's doing okay.
Yeah, yours is. I've seen yours, yeah.
Doing good. Kelly, you got to get your pajamas out of your kitchen, though.
I know.
I keep telling you that every time we FaceTime.
That's just a word. Sorry, man. Sorry to see that.
I got to write that up. I'll be over later.
I'm going to book Carol for you. There we go.
Okay. That's awesome. So facing the door, how else can people set up? Because they're... Their office is where they either generate their income, their money, their expertise. Mm-hmm. How else can they set up their offices?
Keep it from being cluttered.
Okay.
Keep it space. You know, space reflects your life. And the more stuff you have around, the more obstacles you set up for yourself. So clear off the desk at night. I still struggle with that one because it's like, well, I have this blueprint laid out. I'll just leave it here. And it's like, then I walk in and go, oh, man, where? I can't even find the phone, for crying out loud.
Right.
That's not how I want to start my day. So we recently moved, so it really gave me a great opportunity to go through stuff and pare down. And so for the first time in a long time, I have a little extra space, which is nice. So I can put things away. And I come in the morning, and my cat's in my chair, and I have my clean desk. And
I do have to say, it does make a difference when you take that extra couple of moments and clean your desk off at night.
Yeah,
I've noticed it.
Mm-hmm. It gives you a sense of control, like I have control over my life. My life isn't just chaotic mess. Even if it just gets put in a folder, you know, like all the paperwork and contracts and articles you're trying to write for The Edge and all that, they go in a folder. And at least that has a containment to it, as opposed to, oh, my God, here was this thing I was supposed to call her. What's this number? I don't even remember what the, you know, like, oh, that's how chaos starts happening. So, but the thing, I want to get back to the desk facing the door. The issue is that you want to see what's coming in.
Right.
And even if people live alone, they go, well, I wouldn't know if somebody came in. That isn't the point. The point is you want control of your space, and you want to see if something comes in. It's a metaphor about what's coming into your life. But sometimes you can't even do that. You know, like, think of cubicles. Like, they're all their backs are to the door. And for a long time, in fact, early on when I was starting in feng shui, Office Max used to sell little mini rearview mirrors for the express purpose of putting it on the top of the monitor. Those were when you had those big tall monitors.
Yeah.
So that when they're sitting at their desk, any movement behind them, it would catch their eye. And they could turn around and be proactive as opposed to somebody coming up behind them and tapping them on the shoulder and they, you know, get frightened.
I totally had one of those when I worked at Best Buy in a cube.
Did you?
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was.
They don't make them anymore. I don't know why. Well, no. You know, computers are different now. But a mirror on the, you know, a mirror somewhere on the back wall that allows you to see your entry is just gives you a sense of support.
Yeah. You guys, we could talk to Carol for hours, mm-hmm. don't you think, Brian?
Absolutely. I was going to say, you know, as we wrap up, you know, in your fastest, most eloquent way, Carol, what would be a take-home action for anyone listening right now? And then, you know, what would your invitation be for someone who's really considering working with you?
Sure. Okay. if you want change in your life, if you're really welcoming change in for whatever reason, you're sick of your job, you want a relationship, you don't want a relationship, you're not feeling well, there's a very traditional thing to do, and it's pretty effective. You find one little area, like could be your dresser top, could be the top of a counter, it could be a shelf, and you move 9 things.
Okay.
You could rearrange the whole shelf or the whole tip. Or in that process, you might throw some things out. And it's just a whole new message that you're getting. And use your front door.
Use your front door. Okay, you guys.
Carol Hyder. Amazing. Go for it, Kelly.
She is a feng shui master. She is an author. She also has some DVDs and CDs. We didn't even touch on that, but mm-hmm. some feng shui music. Check her out at Carol with an E, Hyder.com. Thank you so much for being in here today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. It was fun.
Absolutely. Being Curious Show with Kelly and Brian and Brian and Kelly and Carol. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you soon.